Well, I want to do a little sort of a series towards the end of the year. And I guess this series is like the series you do before New Year. This is the pre-New Year series, if I could put it that way, because I want to sort of set us up, I guess, in a way, position us for the way that we begin thinking about the new year. Isn't it crazy we're talking about that? Like this year just seems to be gone, and we know that we're in November, so the crazy season is about to take off, and Christmas parties and businesses closing, some of them, and everything that happens this time of the year. It can be a really crazy time of year. So I sort of want to set us up a little bit, and I'm going to challenge us this year, for next year, that instead of making New Year's resolutions, come on, who makes New Year's resolutions occasionally? Who's given up on them? Okay. Instead of making New Year's resolutions, why don't we take faith-filled steps in God's direction? Not New Year's resolutions, which is really something that comes out of the human heart, and they can be good things, they can be positive things, but actually thinking about positioning ourselves to determine next year we will be a people who walk with God. So I want to do a little series, I guess, on the will of God. And of course, you know, someone's will, what their will is, it's sort of their desire. It's what they want. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how can you find out what God wants for you? I think for me, right from the moment I met Jesus, it blew my mind that God could be known, not just known about. There's a big difference. I grew up with a certain element of religion, and God was talked about a lot. But when I think back, I'm not convinced that God was always known or even encouraged to be known. As a matter of fact, it was more like he was held up as to be a mystery that, don't worry, you're just a pleb, you probably will never know God. Like maybe someone else might. And for me to come to Jesus at 21 years of age and to realize, to have the Bible come alive and speak to my heart, to have the Holy Spirit present in my life and God leading me and showing me and speaking to my heart and me coming to comprehend that you can actually know the person, that it's a relationship. And of course, if it's a relationship and it's personal and someone can be known, then obviously their thoughts and their intents and their desires, their wants, their needs, just like any quality relationship, they can be known. We can know what God wants. But I think, you know, if I'm honest, you know, initially, when you begin walking with God, I think for every Christian, particularly new Christian, particularly I think if you've had an experience where maybe you've come from great darkness into His great light, like we were singing about earlier, and had a transformational experience, initially you really want to do the will of God. You want to do that. And if you think about it, doing the will of God is central to all Christian thought. Think about what Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus led us in that. He became the pattern for what it was to be pleasing to our Father God, in that this is not about what we want, it is not about our desire, but it's about knowing God, walking with God, and what He wants and what His desire is. And as I said, I think in early days of faith, it can be easy to think that way. But if you're anything like me, and I'm sure that at least a few of you might be, just a little bit like me, maybe your hairstyle isn't quite as groovy, but I think as people, we're all, though, for me and Paul, we are very similar in so many ways. But as people, we're so similar in this. If we're not careful, life tends to push what God wants out of the center, if we're honest. And I think that happens for numbers of reasons. I think one of the biggest reasons Christians sort of give up on trying to just walk a clear line with God is because it's made to seem so complicated, so complex to somehow know what God wants me to do. Maybe you've been taught that it is, that, oh, to know the will of God, it's like this big pinnacle experience. I know for me, as a young Christian, the church that I got saved into, it was pretty intense, like pretty spiritually intense. And it certainly made me feel like the will of God was like a razor's edge, an absolute razor's edge. And if you make one mistake, you make one decision that takes you off that path, you will probably never be able to claw your way back onto that razor's edge that is the will of God, the only ordained will of God for your life. And I actually think now that's absolute pahooey. You know, like any relationship, my wife and I have walked with one another for 27 years. We are still in love. We still want to walk together. But I can tell you this, we have been on opposite sides of the page more than once. You know what I mean? But it's love and it's relationship that draws us back to the center. So you might be here and you might feel like, look, oh, once upon a time I aspired to do the will of God, but I just feel like I've blown it, I've made some decisions. And there can be some things in our lives that can disqualify us from certain things that God might have had for us. Abuse in different areas, if that's been part of your history as a perpetrator, that can limit you. Not only, you know, I think more so with God, with man than with God, but it will limit you. That's the truth. But outside of that, in all honesty, man, I just think God's waiting for you to get back in the saddle. If you feel like, you know, the horse has thrown you, if you feel like you've lost your way, if you feel like, I just thought I knew how my life was going to unfold, and I look back and this happened and that happened and it shouldn't have happened, and now my life looks so different to what I thought it would. And I think a lot of us can feel like that. The older you get, the more opportunity you get to feel that way. Can I just encourage you? God's just waiting for you to pick it back up. It's still there. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God spoke it about Israel, but it still speaks to you and I out of the New Testament, out of the book of Romans. God's just waiting for us to go, oh, do you want to get back in the saddle? Now, some of us might be doing fine with that. This is just a reminder. God can be known. His desires, his intents, and not just in an obscure way. We know that, you know, God wants to do great things in the earth, but I'm talking about us personally. God wants you to know what he thinks about you. God wants you to know his plan, his purpose that he desires you to fulfill through your life as you walk with him and give glory to him. So over the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to look at, and I'm going to try and break it down and certainly want to make it a bit more accessible and simpler than what sometimes I've heard people talk about the will of God like. In my own past and my own experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 is a verse I think I've heard misquoted and out of context more than almost any other Bible verse I've ever heard. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, and it says, "Eye has not seen." Who has heard this verse? "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And it's often used in the context of heaven, but forget about the context of heaven. Think about his purpose for your life. And it's interesting how when God is spiritualized and mysticized away, this verse is quoted and then the people don't quote the next verse, because what gives it context is verse 10. Verse 9 says, man, God has got stuff that is so far beyond our comprehension for us, that it actually doesn't, in a sense, naturally enter into us to even comprehend what God might have. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. In other words, God wants you to know his will. God wants you to know what he has planned for you. God wants you to know what he has in store for your life. Is anyone keen on that? Yes. Excited about that? I want to stir our hearts. God can be known. God can be walked with. God can be understood. There will always be things that are out of the realm of our natural thinking. Who's ever asked God, what on earth are you doing? You know, that's just a natural human reaction trying to interact with the divine. But, you know, in the large part, God is not a crazy man. He can be known. He can be walked with and understood, his desires, his plans, and his purposes. So I want to encourage us. Now, Jesus' prayer, we've got to understand, not my will but yours be done, is so countercultural to where we live. Our culture is just so focused on the individual. It champions our individualism because that's how it sells us stuff. Do we understand that? That's how it sells us stuff. So our whole culture is anti-submission. It is anti-find someone else's will. And it's pro-make yourself happy. The total opposite. So Jesus was being incredibly countercultural right there with that statement. Here's the importance of knowing God's will and doing it. And I want to give us two verses, and they're a contrast. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will," in other words, according to his plan, his purpose, "he hears us." Verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked from him." Think about this, people. This is what you call a blank check. That's what Paul's talking about, literally. A heavenly blank check. When we're in step with what God wants to do through our lives. James chapter 4, verse 3 is a real contrast to that, where James says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So there's the total contrast. God can be known. Not only that, God can be accessed. All the resources of heaven can be accessed, whether that's financial, whether that's relational, whether that's opportunity, an open door, whatever you need, anything that God can do can be accessed, and you can have a guarantee of having it when you're asking and pursuing in step with him. And when we get confused that things aren't happening our way, James says often it's because, and who's ever prayed like a really terrible prayer, but you were really honest? But you look back and you think, how stupid was I asking that? Like, how dumb can you be and still breathe to even think like that? Sometimes I read old sermon notes and I think, how dumb can you be and still breathe to preach that? You know, so you just change your thinking at times. But this is the way to actually access all of heaven. Yeah, it's just like, you know what? I've got to practice a little bit of not my will, but your will be done, so that I can walk my destiny and purpose out with the full resource and provision of heaven backing me. The opportunities I need, when I hit that door that needs to be opened, I can trust God will open it. When I, you know, need a particular relationship in my life, I can trust that God can bring it. Because this is not about me. It's not a me-centered thing. Jesus is still at the center. This is a Christ-centered way of living. And so this is the thought that I guess I want to share, the first message. I might do two or three of these over the next couple of weeks. But I want to introduce us to an ancient thought from Augustus of Hippo, actually, who was an early church father from 350 AD to about 430 AD. And he made this famous statement in his seventh sermon on the book of St. Paul, the Gospel of St. Paul. And he said, John summarizes, literally he means, love and do what thou wilt. Love and do what thou wilt. Now we're talking now 3rd, 4th century. So I'll put it in more modern speak and contextualize it for you. Love God and do what you like. What is the will of God? How to find the will of God? How to demystify the will of God? Love God and do what you like. Who would just like to be able to do what they like? Now, as soon as I say that, is anyone freaking out right now? Because all you can think is, that is just like a license to do really bad things. Well, that's only because bad things are in your heart. See, if you're at the center of your whole thing, then that's going to sound really bad. Because your thinking's really bad. But if your thinking is, I want to be in step with God, well, then all I have to do is, if I keep God at the center, if I love God, then I'm actually free to fly. And walking with God is not about some sort of religious restrictions that wrap around us. And to be a good Christian, you've got to this and you've got to that. You've got to be this and you've got to be like that. It's got none of that. You've got to love God. If you love God, everything else that you want to do begins to line up with His will, what He desires you to be like. As you put Jesus at the center, that's what I guess I'm talking about with love God. Just as you keep Jesus at the center, you become like Him. You become like Him. Your decisions, your thoughts, your everything that you do, your will begins to conform to His will simply out of your love for Him. Because when you love someone, you know, as much as you can get on the opposite page, you want to get back. If you get on a different page, most of the time my wife wants to forgive me. If you love someone, it always pulls you back to center. Oh, we might have got off on a different page, but honestly, I don't want to stay on a different page. I love you. And it keeps bringing you back to the center. Love God and do what you like. Would you just repeat that with me? Say to your neighbor, mate, turn to them and say, love God, do what you like. And your neighbor can turn back down and say, I've got some advice for you. Love God and do what you like. Love God and do what you like. So, and the funny thing is though, most of us do respond to that with, golly, could it really be that simple? I actually think Christians lose their way with the will of God. Often it's in two ways. One is just pure disobedience. Just a cold, backslidden heart. Anyone else ever had one of those? Everyone over here on this side, I'm sure, can understand me. I'll talk to them because they look like the biggest sinners in the house. No. We've all been there where you just lose your way and your heart grows cold and it's like, who's ever prayed the prayer, God, give me back my first love? Can I get back to that place of what it was like when I first met you? So sometimes we just grow cold, but I honestly think the thing that holds most Christians out from doing the will of God is fear. Just fear of getting it wrong. Again, like I was, this little razor blade thing. And I honestly think the devil uses fear. Fear is not of God. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So when fear comes upon you, I think the devil wants to use it. And it's a crazy thing. I see Christians refuse to take steps towards their future or towards destiny or purpose, step out in faith and try and please God in any way because they're seriously afraid of missing what they're afraid of missing. And then they get to the end of their life and they've actually missed what they were meant to have because they were afraid of missing it. Does that sound like the devil to you? God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Love God. Do what you like. So here's just a couple of thoughts, some simple thoughts on how to walk in the will of God for us just to meditate on for the next week. Could we do that? And if you've got a little notes or whatever, here's the keys. The will of God. First key is keep it simple. Saint. I'll use that word. I know some of you have heard it put different ways, but keep it simple. And actually, I need to backtrack. I missed my main scripture. I should have read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 before we do this, verse 1 and 2. So if we could flick back to there. Thank you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, this is Paul writing, book of Romans, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Notice he says living sacrifices, so we're not talking about some crazy sacrificial pagan rite. This is about living for God as if your whole life has been offered to Him. holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, and do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. If you do these things, if you live self-sacrificially and put God at the center of it all, offer your bodies up as a living sacrifice, if you renew your mind, then you will be able to actually do the will of God. It'll be shown in your life. First key, back to a first key, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, I want to say, I said that this would be simple. I didn't say it would be easy. Anyone else found that God's a bit like that? It might not be hard, or it might not be complicated. It might be simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy. But just determining to put Jesus at the center of it and live for him is the key. Fact is, we go to the ends of the earth sometimes to bargain with God. Who's bargaining with God? If you do this, I'll do that. If you answer this prayer, I'll answer that prayer. Who's ever been mad with God because it's like, I have been performing, man, and you're not holding up your end of the bargain? Anyone tried to wrestle God like that? Had a bit of an arm wrestle? And then we do the guilt thing, which is like the, I'm just going to flog myself to prove to God that I really do still, I do really love him, even though I've messed up. So I'm going to give more, I'm going to serve more, I'm going to do whatever more to somehow impress God and cover my own sin. Has anyone ever done that? Don't put your hand up. I know most of you lie anyway, so we might as well bother. We all do this stuff, and you know, Jesus, what all Jesus wants us to do is obey. It's like, don't go thrashing yourself. Don't go, just live for me. That's it. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Love your wife. Love your wife. Treat your kids good. Use integrity. Just yesterday, we bought a car for our son. He's got his first car. We bought him a little 1986 Toyota Ute. It's a beauty. But, you know, and off great people. We're down, we're signing up forms and that. It comes to the stamp duty thing, and the guy offers to write two receipts, one to show main roads and one to, so I'd save, honestly, we're talking maybe $38 on stamp duty. And I just looked at him, and he's a great guy. I just looked at him and said, mate, my integrity's worth more than $38. Yeah, just put the right amount in there. It's not that complicated, is it? It's not always easy. And I mean, it's easy when you're talking $78, not maybe $7,800, I know, but it's all Jesus is looking for. It's just live for me. Just live for me. Live right. You know, sharing Jesus with your neighbour. It's funny, but sometimes Christians pray about stuff like that. Does it sound spiritual if someone said to you, I'm really praying about how I should share Jesus with my neighbour, love my neighbour. I'm really praying whether that's what God wants me to do. Does that sound spiritual? I think God would look at that and go, that sounds daft. It's actually a complete misunderstanding of his will. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish. Should you share Jesus with your neighbour? Yes. You don't need to pray about that one. Keep it simple. Just do what he wants you to do. But sometimes we spiritualize the stuff that's so simple away. Keep it simple, saint. Keep it simple. The question is, am I living for him? Very simple question. Do I want to live for him? That doesn't mean you always get it right. It's like a relationship between a husband and wife. You're not always on the same page, but does love keep pulling you back to center? I want to love God and do what I like. Love God and do what I like. Cool. Second thought is renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All our problems begin in our minds. Have you realized that yet? You know, spiritual warfare, and years ago there was this whole thing on spiritual warfare. And yeah, I know we should pray. I know there's stuff in the book of Daniel and all sorts of things. But honestly, the biggest demon in the world is between your ears. In all honesty, yes, the devil energizes stuff, but he only energizes what's already there. And if you're drawn away by a certain thing, well, he'll jump on that boat and paddle his canoe. But in all honesty, this is why the Bible says, capture your thoughts. Renew your mind so that you can actually discern what God's will is. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So the key is to renew our minds. And I think that sometimes we struggle with the work of the Holy Spirit, struggle trusting the work of the Holy Spirit in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 basically says that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, this isn't for special Christians. This isn't for special believers. This is a letter to the church. And Paul is saying, this is the work that God's doing in you. He is transforming you. But I think sometimes we don't trust that. We don't trust ourselves. Come on, who's ever thought, I don't dare turn my back on myself? You're wise to think that like that sometimes. But sometimes we just don't trust that God's really at work in us. And I think that we need to. We often show by our thinking that we're not letting God transform us, though. I think of one classic example is, in just a change of thinking, is prosperity teaching. Okay, we've probably, some of us who've been around longer, and some of us who listen to podcasts, or maybe watch a bit of YouTube and internet preachers and stuff like that, you'll have heard someone hammer prosperity preaching. Now, please understand me. I'd like to go on record as saying I believe thoroughly in biblical prosperity, which, if you do a study of the words, means that you will have everything you need for the journey God's put you on. That's what biblical prosperity means. It doesn't mean that when I get a gold Rolls Royce, I have arrived. It means that as I'm doing the will of God, everything that I need to take the next step, God will put it in my path. God's provision is strategically placed on the pathway of obedience. That's biblical prosperity, okay? And yet some people, when you talk about prosperity, they just burr up and it's all, well, I just don't like that, and they want to drive a new car and they want to do this, and I don't agree with all that stuff. And it's like, you know what? Again, that's just coming out of your heart. The only way you're thinking about that is because of the way you're thinking about that. But for someone who sees biblical prosperity as the opportunity to do the will of God, what they see blessing as, they see missions partners like Edna and Edgar Bantigi in the Philippines and think, what could we do there? What more could we do there? What more could we do in Sri Lanka? What more could I do with Compassion Children? What more could we do in the far west of the state? What more could we do in a community where probably over 100,000 people do not have the hope of Jesus Christ living in their hearts? Someone who's actually thinking the right way about God's promises goes, prosperity is an opportunity for God to use me. But if you're thinking wrong, you won't see it. So you've got to renew, allow your mind to be renewed. And all that is just get in step with the way God thinks. That's it. It's nothing technical. Let the Word of God rule. When it comes to decisions, when it comes to thinking, well, I think this way. You know, because we can be conditioned by our culture to think a particular way. And when that confronts Scripture, we've got to submit to Scripture and go, well, it doesn't matter if I've been thinking that way. Obviously, I'm wrong. Yeah. So I will transform my mind and allow God to renew me by going, I was, go on, say it, Fonzie, wrong, for those older ones in the congregation. Who was it? It was Sarah. Sarah admitted to watching an episode of Happy Days. I couldn't believe that they were still around. But earlier this morning. But we've got to admit we're wrong and God's right, and you've just renewed your mind. When any of your thinking, conflict, values, whatever it is, comes into contact with the Word of God, and if they don't line up, you just give God right of way and you've just renewed your mind. That's it. It's really no harder than that. Renew your mind so that you know what the will of God is. You actually recognize it when it comes along. Determined to see things the way God does. It'll renew your mind. Here's a great proverb, Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your works to the Lord and he will establish your thoughts. I've always loved that scripture. Commit your works to the Lord. So, because often we just get into life and we're just doing it and then something goes wrong and then we try and invite God into it. Because you, come on, be honest. It's like, I'm just living my life and it might not be a bad life, you know, but I'm living my life and then all of a sudden you realize I'm out in left field somewhere. I need God's help. I need God to rescue me. And the question really is, well, when did you stop walking with him? Yeah. Commit your works to him and he will establish your thinking. So determine to renew your mind. Determine to see things the way God does. It'll renew your mind. And the last thought, the last key, that's three keys, second key, third key, is obedience. Test and approve what God's will is. Just practice obedience. Occasionally, you know, I'm asked what I think God's will is. For an individual, someone will say to me, you know, what do you think God's will is in this situation for me? Do you think I should go here or go there? Do you think I should be with this person or not be with this person? Do you think I should take this opportunity? Do you think I should say this or whatever it is? And it's like, and people ask you, and it's, of course, it's impossible to answer that question most of the time unless it's something really, really obvious, because it's individual for all of us, isn't it? But the best advice I think I ever heard, I don't even know where I picked it up from, but it's advice I give again and again and again and again in the course of pastoral ministry. The best advice I could give you for finding the will of God, if you've lost it, if you feel like you've lost your way, the fastest way to put your feet back on the track, it could even be the only way, I'm not sure, is simply this. Do the last thing he told you to do. I think God feeds out his will a bit and waits to see what we do with it. I think God's a very good steward of everything that he has. He doesn't cast pearls before swine. You know, if we're just going to trample stuff in the mud, he told us not to do it, so why would he do it? So when God has spoken to your heart, you have a sense of, I really believe this is what God's got for me, what God wants me to do. Man, if you haven't done it, just go do it. Go, God, I'm sorry. I think I might have heard you. And I just need to put that right. If it's at all possible to put right, if it's within your power, just put it right. And then the next thing that you have a sense that God wants you to do, just do that. And then the next time you have this inkling of, I just think God might, just do that. It won't be long, you know, before you realize you've gone from a shuffle to a walk. I think this is what God's got for me. I think this is what God, and all of a sudden you end up in a place where you think, I just really believe I'm getting into the center of what God has got for me. It's not complicated. It's not hard in that sense. It's quite simple. It can be hard for us to do. Because we've got to fight the flesh. We've got to fight our old feelings and our old desires. But to get right back to the center of knowing God, walking with God, which is what this little series is going to be about, getting God right back at the center of your life, having access to the resources of heaven as you do life. It is as simple as just start doing what he told you to do. And all of a sudden, you start to get into a pattern. And you know what? The more you obey, the more you obey. That's the bottom line. Has anyone ever worked that out, that the more you mess up, the easier it is to mess up next time? You get in this pattern. You know, it works the other way as well. The more you get it right, the easier it is to get right the next time. It just becomes that pattern. That's why Paul says in Romans 12 there, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, which is disobedience. The pattern of this world, which is contrary to God. The pattern of this world, which the values are so opposite. Get in a different pattern. Get in a different trajectory of pleasing God. I think at the end of the day, you know, if we said, do you believe love God and do what you like is a godly creed? Have I convinced you? It's a godly creed. Psalm 37 verse 4, I've loved it. It was one of the first verses I ever underlined in a Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I don't think that's just he gives you whatever you want. I think he puts his desires in your heart. And before you know it, the things that he wants are the things you want too. And he just longs to fulfill that. When we ask anything according to his will, we know we have whatever we have asked. And so for us, the primary question, it isn't, is this the will of God? Come on, who's ever asked himself, is this the will of God? That's not the primary question. You know, at some point it might be a good question to ask, but the primary question is, do I love God? That's primary. You get that one right, it's amazing how much else falls into place. But on this thing, this opportunity, this challenge, this moment that I'm challenged with, how do I love God in this moment? What brings honor to him and glory to him? And if I get that right, the will of God sure to unfold immediately after. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Last thought I'm going to leave you with. I know I've hit us with a bit of scripture, but it's part of renewing the mind. Is that okay? Get God's thoughts on things. Colossians 3, verse 15, the first part of the verse, actually middle part of the verse, says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In a sense, what Paul's saying, let the peace of God be the umpire. There's a funny thing about umpires. If you're going to let peace be your umpire, umpires only blow the whistle during process of the game when something is wrong or a goal is scored. I want to take this thought back real quickly to just people who are frozen and afraid. You know, the best you can ever play a game, any kind of game, is just with absolute confidence, total commitment, going hard, and if the referee blows the whistle, well, then you've got to sort it out. But no one who's any good at a game is playing the game just waiting for the whistle to go. Cringing back, like in fear, oh, I don't dare do that. The ref might blow the whistle. They just play the game full on. That's the best you'll ever play the game. When it comes to the will of God, honestly, if you love God, unless you hear a whistle blow, just go for it. Do what you like. Just keep loving him. And he loves you enough to blow the whistle if you're getting into deeper, you know, dark areas. You know that. You've heard the Holy Spirit. Come on, who's here heard the ref's whistle here? You know that you can hear the whistle. So in the meantime, focus on loving him, keeping him at the center, and play the game of life with all your heart. He's well able to pull you up if he needs to. I'd love to pray for us today, and I just trust that today, if there was one thing to come out of this morning, is a simple hunger to just make sure Jesus is right at the center, and the determination, I'm going to just live my life to the full focused on one thing, loving God. Not complication and not this, but what about this, but what about... No, no, if you love God, you'll probably get the rest right. Why don't we stand together? Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And just while we're in this place, if you're here and you just feel like, you know what, I think maybe I've just complicated it a bit too much. I've given up a bit on the will of God because I just feel like I lost my way, my life got messy, my life got complicated. Maybe you've even questioned whether God really still has a plan for you. Maybe you feel a little bit like I missed it and I'm probably never going to get back on track. I really want to pray for you this morning because that is just not true. God still has a plan and a purpose for you. Maybe as I spoke about renewing the mind, you thought, yep, man, I've allowed other things to shape my thinking and I need to get back to allowing the Word of God to form my values and my decisions. I really want to pray for you today as well. Maybe it's the obedience step. Maybe it's like, you know what? I just sort of given up on really trying to follow God because I just seem to make a mess of it. And so I just know that I'm just in a bad pattern where I'm sort of doing my own thing. And occasionally my life intersects God, maybe on a Sunday morning. But outside of that, man, it just doesn't. I really want to pray for you if what you want is to just pull Jesus back to the center. For life not to be self-centered, but to be Christ-centered. I really want to. And that's only a decision. That's a decision all of us can make. We're the only ones who can. And I'd love to pray for you for that. So why don't we all just bow our heads just right now, close our eyes, and why don't you just raise a hand if any of this has spoken to you today and you appreciate prayer. Father, I thank you for everyone responding to you right now, reaching out to you right now. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit just ripping off any sense of failure or shame or guilt. I thank you, Father, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, for quality decisions, Father, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, for the Word of God to come alive in people's hearts. I thank you, Father, for an absolute joy in knowing that we're at the center of your will and of your purpose for our lives. And I pray that for every heart. I just thank you, Father, for forgiveness flowing and power flowing and decisions being made in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. You can put your hands down, but let's just stay in this moment of prayer. Just keep our eyes closed for a moment. You know, if you're here today and you actually don't know God, can I just tell you, I know the will of God for your life. I know what it is today. If you're in this place and you wouldn't claim to have a relationship with God like I've been talking about, His perfect will for your life today is that you would know Him. It's that simple. Is that you would open your heart, allow His forgiveness to touch your life, and allow Him to begin to lead you through life. And while every head's bowed and every eye's closed in this place, if that's you, would you just raise your hand up right now? I want to acknowledge you and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but just right across this place this morning, just as we close. Yep, that is awesome, mate. Fantastic. You can put your hand down again. Others in this place, you know you need to make that decision. Just as we close, really quickly, you just know I need to meet God in this place. God wants to be known by you. He's happy to be known, to be in a relationship. That's His plan, His purpose. So as I look across one more time, friend, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again, and then we're going to pray one more time. Fantastic. Awesome. Father, I thank you for people who've responded in this place this morning. I thank you for meeting their hearts, meeting them right where they are. You want to be known, so I pray that you would make yourself real to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to pray this simple prayer together, church. Prayer we pray every week. And I just encourage us, can we just pray? Are we happy to pray this every week? Yeah. Come on, it's just a prayer of opening our heart to Jesus. And if you responded today for the first time to Jesus, I encourage you, just make this your prayer as we pray it. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Amen.